I've said on many occasions that the greatest blessing really is the preparation that you have time in doing. And I usually find out that when I have opportunity to preach, that it's things that have concerned me in my Christian walk. And often they're things that I've battled with in my life, and I've had to try and sort them out myself with God's help. And when I thought this week of just of the time that I was going to spend with you, I came to the conclusion perhaps I need to share just two portions of scripture with you. One that was read to us by Cole from Samuel, and the other one from 1 Kings about Solomon, and the other one from Proverbs. And you'll see as I go through what I want to share today how the two of them come together. And the question I want to ask very simply this morning is just how wise are you? Now, if I had to ask my wife that question, she said from here to here is just muscle. But we have had a wonderful time together, and I've learned tremendous lessons from her. And many of the things that I want to say are things that we've learned together in our 52 years of marriage. And they're things that we've come to appreciate together, and things that we've learned in our walk with the Lord. And I want to turn to Proverbs just to read a portion of scripture, and then just some things that I'd like to share simply with you. And in Proverbs chapter 2, and it's really chapter 2 and chapter 3 and chapter 4, which I would like to refer to, but there's just no time to do all of that. So I'm going to pick out the things which just the Lord has laid upon my heart. And this is what Solomon says. He says, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and plying your hearts to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield for those who walk in blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones." You know, that's the kind of reading where you can say amen and go home. Because it's one of those tremendous things that we need to learn from. And so I want to try together that portion that we read together in 1 Kings, and this particular portion, and just draw some things. I wonder if we are suffering sometimes for the consequences of things that we've done. Interesting, isn't it? Decisions that we've made in the past, and things that we've done and thought that were right, when we found that they've matured and time has moved on, that they haven't worked out as we have wanted them to. I can think of my own life on many occasions when I've done things in haste, when I've done things without thinking them through properly, when I've done things for the wrong motives, we often find that we land up in disaster. And it's interesting as you look at these two portions of scripture, in both those Kings and in Proverbs, how these questions are answered for us. And we do suffer consequences for many of the decisions that we made, sometimes foolish decisions. I remember I bought an MG, and when I got it, I was too big to fit into it. And then when we came to Cape Town, it broke down on me. And then I bought a vintage car, and it would never start. And we make bad decisions, and we sometimes suffer the consequences for that. And on the way to Cape Town, we broke down, and we had to wait for a little while before we could get it fixed. We do make foolish decisions, and the unfortunate part is that we get stuck with the consequences. And I can see lots of people in the congregation shaking their heads. Now I want to say right at the start as well that God forgives, and he gives us a new start, and he gives us victory. But we still often have to live with the consequences, is that right? And if you look back in your own life, we often see that. And so I prayed and I thought this through. And these two portions of scripture, which don't seem related, were two portions that just came together, and I want to share with you. First of all, the question of Solomon. in 1 Kings chapter 3 and also in 1 Kings chapter 4, which were read to us. Incidentally, just as passing, Solomon means peaceful. And he was a man of peace. That was why he built the temple and not David. He was a man that we know for his wisdom. In fact, even in today's life, we often talk about the wisdom of Solomon. And we find that in many secular readings as well. And of course, when we think of Solomon, we think of where he came from. And that's just a story of its own. When we think of the sin of David and Bathsheba, and out of that union, we have Solomon. And I just thought to myself, isn't it wonderful that God uses even the disasters in life to bring blessing? Now, it's very, very interesting that Solomon became king. And when he became king, there were various things that he asked for. But right at the top of the list, when he had a choice, and when he could think things through, Solomon chose and made the right decision. And I couldn't help thinking to myself as I was thinking this through, I wonder what we would have decided. A nice house on the hill, the prettiest wife in the town, the best job with the best money, all these things. But it's so interesting when you get into Solomon, into 1 Kings chapter 3, and you read about Solomon, the choices that he made. And I think it's wonderful. Here he becomes king. He's a fairly young man, and he has before him the whole situation of ruling God's people. And he asks perhaps for the most important thing that he could possibly ask for. And he says this in chapter 3, verse 7. I'm only a little child and don't know how to carry out my duties. Can you see where it started? His sense of need. And I think that our choices which we made in life need to start out with our sense of need. Unless we have a need which God places upon our hearts and within our consciences, we find that we ask for the wrong things. I had a mother who never came to know the Lord. When I became a Christian in a little hall in Sea Point, went home to share with my mother the faith that I had. I was young in the Christian life, just a day or two old. And I said to her, Mom, you need to give your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus. It was just the time between the end of school and the starting of university. And I can remember to this very day what her answer to me was. She said, Peter, I have no needs. A tragedy. She was happily married. We lived in a lovely little house in Sea Point. Beautiful view over Robben Island and right across the common. Could see as far as Dasson Island and all the beautiful view. She said to me, Peter, what do I need? I have a husband who cares for me. I've got two children that aren't too much trouble. My husband has a good job. I have a lovely home. All these things, I have no need. Where does Solomon start when he looks for wisdom? That he has a need. I want to stress that if I can just for a moment. Because God puts a need within our hearts and then asks us to commit that need to Him. And we sometimes don't see that need and we sometimes answer that need out of selfish motives. But when we come to God and we ask for a need, and Solomon put it so beautifully, he said, what do I need? I do not know how to carry out my duties. I've got to beat all these people. Please help me. I wish I'd known that earlier on in my Christian life. A need. But he moves on in 1 Kings, and not only does he realize that he has a need, but he asks his request before the Lord. And this is he said, so give your servant, and here it is, a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. Can you see what he asked for? For wisdom. And some of the translations use that word wisdom. He knew that he had a responsibility of leading the people. And God put that need upon his heart. And with great great faith, he asked God to meet that need. And he said, show me help. Am I able to govern these people? How can I do this except that you help me? Often we move our own way and we try and answer our own needs. But Solomon went to the Lord and asked that God would meet his need. I think the third thing which came in the story of Solomon is just that the things that he didn't ask for. And I think sometimes that this is the lesson that we can need to learn in verses 3 to verse 12 in that particular. And he just says there, he did not ask for long life or for wealth. He didn't ask for death over his enemies, but he asked for a discerning and an administrative heart to administer justice. He asked for the things that are important. And I just wish I knew that earlier on in my Christian life. And even in our older age, we still find that we often misappropriate the things that we ask for. And we have selfish motives. We have motives which we often act in haste. And I think many of the mistakes that we've made are things that we've done in haste. But Solomon asked for the right things. And I pray that God will give us the wisdom, even sometimes in our old age, or even more so in our old age, the time when it comes to move home. I know people who've moved home too soon. I know people that have moved left it too late, when it's been too late in life. We've had the question of schools when we have children. All these things. But he didn't ask for these things. He asked for wisdom so that when the decisions need to be made, he could make them wisely. And then the third thing is that God granted his requests. Look what it says in verse 12. I will give you a wise and a discerning heart so that you will never make a mistake. He doesn't say that, nor will you be. And he goes on and he says that will you fall into disarray, because the things that you've asked for are things that are wise. And he requested with the right motive. You know, he didn't ask for wisdom for himself so much. He asked for wisdom so that he could have the right desire within his heart to do right for his people. And I love that he had other people in mind. And what does God do? In verse 13 and 14, I will give you what you ask for. Wonderful, wonderful act. And God, when we ask aright, and we ask within his will, and we ask with the right motives, and for the work and for the work of others, God will honor us. And in your lifetime, you will have no equal amongst the kings if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and my command, as David your father did, and I will give you long life. It's interesting that when he asked for the right things, God gave him the other things as well. And I want to put that into the right perspective as well. Because when we ask for the right things, we find that the other blessings come as well. Have you experienced that? We find that that always works that way. We obey, and God gives us more than we possibly ask or even think. And so God blessed Solomon in such a wonderful way. He became a king like no other. A man that God blessed in every way. And then in that chapter 4, we don't have time to get into that. But God gave Solomon a very wise insight and a breadth of understanding and a measure of the sand of the seashore. He had greater wisdom than all the people of the East, and had more wisdom than all the wise men of Egypt. Spoke 300 or 3,000 songs, about that, or proverbs. 1,005 songs. He knew about plant life and about animals and about birds and reptiles and fish. And many people came to him. I don't think that's strange, because he asked for the right things. And when sometimes we have selfish motives, and when we move into our own way, we often find that things go awry. Let's move on to Proverbs quickly, and let's put this about the positive sign to this. What is the secret to find wisdom? God gives us an appetite for that if we want it. And I think we all need wisdom of one kind or another. Now wisdom, I believe, and Rapsa, who I just had a look at this just I think this morning or last night, he says that the whole of life is choosing a path. And as we look at this whole question of wisdom, it's choosing the path or the direction in which we need to go. And in chapter 2, and in chapter 3, and in chapter 4 of Proverbs, the whole question of wisdom is set out so wonderfully for us. And I wish I had time to go into all of that, but I'm going to pull out some of the things which were just a blessing to me, and which I need to apply myself to see for that wisdom that God and that wisdom, the wisdom that we desire. It's very interesting that chapter 2 and chapter 3 and chapter 4 all start with the importance of God's word. Have you got it? Chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4. And the first verses in each one of those chapters. The importance of God's word. Now, I don't know what happened to you when you became a Christian. If you do and you know the love of the Lord, you find that one of the things which he gives to us or gave to me was a love for his word. And Solomon tells us that, and Proverbs tells us that, as we get to know his word. And so, in that verse, or in those verses that I read from Proverbs chapter 2, we find some interesting things. The first thing he says there in the earlier verse, verse 1, he says, accept my words. Now, a lot of people have not become Christians because they're not prepared to accept God's word. Accepting God's word is a cost. Can I give a personal testimony here just for a moment? When I was much younger and playing some serious tennis, there were tournaments that always took place on a Sunday. So go to Johannesburg to play in interprovincial tournaments and so on. In those days, you didn't do anything on a Sunday. You know those days? They locked the tennis court gate. They did all sorts of things, and you weren't allowed to do a decision I had to make. A decision I had to make. It costs when we get to know God's word. My daughter Linda was appointed head girl of the school. And when one of the men at the school, a doctor, realized that his daughter wasn't made head girl, he sent the school a bursary, and they took it away from her and gave it to his daughter. She had to learn that. She loved the Lord. She said, Dad, I need to accept this and to forgive. It costs to follow God's word. And to be a good witness and to have wisdom costs. Accept God's word. In chapter 2 it says that we need to store his commands within our hearts. You know, I thank the Lord that I became a Christian when I was young because you had a more attentive mind. I battle to remember the verses of scripture now, but the ones that I learned as a young person I can remember very well. So we need to study or store God's word within our heart. And once we store God's word within our heart, it tells us that very clearly in those first 7 verses in Proverbs. We need to store it in our heart. And that takes time. There's no shortcut. We can't lie on the pillow and put the Bible under our pillow and then hope by some method of osmosis that what's in God's word will come through the pillow and into our head. It doesn't work that way. We've got to study God's word. It says, turn your ear towards my word. To give me wisdom, there needs to be a desire for God's word. It says, apply God's word to your heart. It's inward, because what is in the heart comes out. He says, call out for insight. We need understanding of God's word. He says, call out aloud for understanding. There's almost the desperation that he might know God's word. And he says, look out for God's word like you would look for silver and for gold. And then he says, search for God's word like a treasure. It's all or nothing. And this comes out both in chapter 2 and in chapter 3 and in chapter 4 of Proverbs. 8 things which challenge us to have that wisdom, all based in our knowledge and our desire and the storing up in our hearts of God's word. Chapter 3 in Proverbs tells us much the same, but again it starts with the importance of God's word. And we find in that chapter 3 one of the verses which you and I can all quote off by heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And it says, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Where does the knowledge in chapter 3 come from? Trusting in the Lord with all our heart. And what will he do? He will make straight our paths. Chapter 3 goes on that we need to share God's blessings. It also goes on that we need to submit to discipline. That's not so easy sometimes. We don't like discipline. Not at all. I know I've learned the hard way. Those were the days you could get hiding. It's not anymore. And the discipline. And my dad disciplined us. And God disciplined us. And when he disciplines us and we listen to the discipline, we get knowledge. And then chapter 4 deals with the whole question again of God's word. And it's very interesting to read chapter 4. I wish we could have. There's a sermon in each one of these. He says that when God deals with us, he deals with our ears, so that we might hear what he says to us and listen to it. It influences, and what comes in through our ears is what influences our minds and our hearts and our decisions. Is that right? And sometimes when we're not mature as we should be, we can hear anything and obey. But God says, listen to me through your ears. He said, listen to it with your heart. And says, the heart loves the things, and the things which the heart loves are the things which the ears will hear and that the eyes will see. Is that right? It goes on. He says, watch out what you say. He says, watch out what you see. Outlook lands up with outcome. I think the TV is the biggest curse of all. We've reached the stage now when there's something which happens, you switch it off. It's easy. It doesn't take any effort to do that. And it goes out in that, and it teaches us that. It's in God's word, and knowing God's word, and understanding God's word, and applying God's word, which leads to the wisdom which we need to go. And so chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4 help us with this. And what a wonderful thing it is to have that kind of wisdom. I know a gentleman, and he's still alive today, I think. His name is Ray Holmes. You might have heard of him. He was a gentleman that had the most wonderful wisdom that I could possibly remember. I can remember going to church meetings with Ray Holmes, and he would stand up in a meeting, and immediately everything was diffused. If you can come across those kind of people, he just had a way of putting things in such a way and in such perspective. That's the kind of wisdom that God wants to give to each one of us. And so Proverbs in chapter 9 says this, and with this I close, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. Where is it? The fear of the Lord and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. I wonder if we start battling sometimes with decisions that we've made. And we have decisions which we need to make in the future. I believe that God will help us to do that as we know his word and as we apply it in our day-by-day living. Of course, the greatest wisdom that you can have in all the world is to give our hearts to the Lord Jesus. That's where wisdom really starts from. And I think once we have the Lord in our heart and our perspective in life changes and he becomes the king upon our throne and he's the one that leads us in every day and he becomes our example, we find that wisdom falls into the right place. You looking for wisdom? You have decisions to make? Why not consult the Lord? And lean not, as the scriptures tell us, unto our own understanding, but to look to him for the wisdom which we long to have. Let's pray together. Lord, just in the simple way in which we've looked at your word this morning, we pray that you'll just challenge our hearts again. And Lord, forgive us in the past if we've made decisions which have been wrong, and we sometimes even today are suffering the consequences of that. That you'll just release us from that and give us victory. We pray for decisions which we need to make in the future for the younger folk, for the children that have decisions to make. We just pray that you'll have wisdom in those decisions. We think of older folk who need to make decisions about retirement or moving homes, that you'll give them as well the wisdom which only you can give. And Lord, we want to please you in all our lives, and we know that the only way is to walk in your paths, to obey your will, and to do what we know is right. So as you perhaps touched our hearts this morning, Lord, we just pray that those things which lie before us might be the things which we commit to you. Just wait for your guidance in every way. And we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.